Open your Bibles, if you would, this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we are going to continue on with our series of messages that I started last week called Transformation. Transformation. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the word that we are about to receive. We ask you, Father, for your anointing. Father, for without it, Lord, we struggle. It is in vain, Lord. Father, your anointing needs to open us up so we might receive that you want to speak to us this morning, Lord. And ultimately, Lord, that this word would change us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So last week, just to kind of catch everybody up, we started a series of messages called Transformation. I believe that it is imperative that we as Christians move through a transformation process every day of our lives. And so this morning we're going to read a couple of scriptures out of the Word, and then we're going to jump into this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 13, it says, "Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now skip over a few a page, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. Very familiar portion of Scripture here. We use it all the time. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, last week we got into the definition of transformation. We talked a little bit about transformation. Anytime God begins to change us, remember this, you don't go through any change without a little bit of friction. Amen? How many of y'all know change is hard? Change is uncomfortable many times. Change is difficult. Whenever the Holy Spirit begins to move on you and He begins to change you, like it says, into the image of Jesus Christ, because that's the whole idea, as that you and I will become like Jesus Christ. Whenever He begins to work on us, sometimes those changes are uncomfortable. And everyone said amen. Last week we talked about the word transformation. And out of the Bible, whenever you see it written, it comes from the Greek word that we get our word metamorphosis from. Most of you are familiar with the word metamorphosis, because that's whenever a caterpillar crawls up and makes a cocoon, and then just in a few days he emerges a butterfly. He morphs into a butterfly. And in the same way, metamorphosis is used by the writer of the text so many times in the Bible, using this word transformation. And it means that you and I literally come from the place of a caterpillar to a butterfly. Not really. But folks, we are emerging something different than we came into this relationship with. Amen? Any of you that have been in Jesus for any period of time, you realize that Jesus changes you. I am not the same person that I used to be, folks. I'm telling you, I don't think the same way. I don't talk the same way. God has changed my life. I came from a caterpillar, and I am merging into a butterfly. I'm merging into what I believe is the image of Jesus Christ. So we know what the word means. So now let's talk just for a moment, like we did last week, about the concept. This concept of Paul saying that we come from a caterpillar into a butterfly, we metamorph. He uses kind of a passive voice. And now remember this transformational process. And now this is one of those places where you can all take a sigh of relief. How many of y'all know it's hard to change on your own? Anybody ever tried to break a bad habit on your own? I can remember a young man that came to our church for a while, and he had a smoking problem, and he smoked all the time. And he kept telling me, he said, man, he said, I know I don't need to be smoking. It's bad for my health. He said, I'm a bad steward of my finances. I could be giving this money to the kingdom instead of wasting it on cigarettes. And he said, but I'm going to tell you something, Pastor. He said, it is the worst thing I've ever tried to overcome. He said, man, I get up in the morning, and he said, I taste that first cigarette. I want it so bad. And he said, I've tried over and over and over to quit smoking. So I told him, I said, man, I said, I'm just going to tell you my take on this. I said, if God is big enough to set you free from sin, which is the biggest problem man can ever have, he's got to be big enough to set you free from smoking. We were at the altar, and, you know, I mean, I'm just crazy enough. I laid my hands on him, and I said, in the name of Jesus, break this. And you know what? He never smoked another cigarette. He told me, his testimony was, he said, man, he said, I went home, and he said, I didn't even have a craving for it. He said, I used to pick up a cigarette pack, and I'd smell those cigarettes, and my mouth would start watering. He said, man, I smelled that cigarette, and he said, I'm telling you, it literally turned my stomach. He said, all my clothing, a thing that had been permeated with the smell of cigarette smoke, he said, all of it started stinking. He said, I started having to get in my closet, wash all my clothes, because they stunk. Now, the story is this. God, in our transformation process, he doesn't leave us alone to do it. He comes beside us and he says, listen, I'm going to take you through this transformation process, and I'm going to be your help. It's not us that has to do it. We got to want to do it, but he gives us the power through the Holy Spirit, through his word, to get the job done. We don't have to do it by our own power. God offers us his power. Amen. And ultimately, what we were talking about last week is the goal of transformation is to be like Jesus. To become like Jesus Christ. Husbands, can I just tell you something? You'd never get in trouble with your wife if you were more like Jesus. There should have been a lot of ladies right there. Just chime in. Just say amen. I look back over my married life and I think to myself, man, you know, all the times that my wife and I got into it over something, 99% of it was her fault. But that 1% was my fault. No, that percentage that I had to stand up and take blame for, you understand? It was those moments whenever I wasn't acting much like Jesus. Come on. But man, if we just acted like Jesus, so many things in life would be different. Our marriages would be better. Our finances would be better. Our faith would be so high. Hallelujah! I want to be more like Jesus. So the ultimate goal of transformation is to become like Jesus. Now folks, let me just tell you something. There is an alternative here. If you and I in this room dig our feet in the ground and we say, listen, I am not willing to be transformed. I do not want to become like Jesus. Now, I know nobody's going to do that because you all see the good in becoming like Jesus. Amen? The only alternative to becoming like Jesus is to be what it talks about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be conformed to the world. That's it. We can either be conformed to the world or we can be transformed to be like Jesus. And guys, I just got to tell you something. You know, I used to think the world wasn't a really bad place. Growing up, I was a heathen and everything in the world was just fine and dandy as far as I was concerned. But the more that I'm around Jesus, the more that this word gets me, the more I'm deciding that the world is not a very good place. I want to tell you something. The world is full of a whole lot of crazy ideas, full of a lot of nonsense. And I want to distance myself from the world. Come on. I don't want to be like the world. I want to be different. So the only other alternative that you have, if you don't want to be transformed into the image of Christ, is to be conformed to the image of this world. The Bible says, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, the ways of this world. And literally, the word there in the Greek means a transitory or changing or an unstable kind of. See, you realize the world and everything about the world that's evil is really just counterfeit on what God made. Y'all realize that? You know, God invented music. How many of y'all know that? God did it. He invented music. But yet the world has a copy of what God wants music to be. They have a counterfeit edition, worldly music that we shouldn't be letting in our ears. It's being played out there all the time. But God has a music, folks. I got to tell you something. When we get to heaven, we are going to enjoy some very good music. Amen? Come on. I mean good music. I'm telling you, they got some pro musicians up there. And they're going to be playing some amazing music. But the world has an imitation or a substitute for it. And folks, whenever you and I try to conform to the world, or y'all understand what we are just an imitation. We're a cheap copy. But whenever we want to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, man, we are the real thing. Come on. We're the real thing whenever we're being transformed into the image of Jesus. We have a lot of things that we can set our eyes on to become like. I've already mentioned the world. There's a lot of young people that have not formulated their opinions of the world like I have. And a lot of times they look at the world and they go, man, I want to be like that. They see somebody rich and famous and their lives are messed up. And man, they're on drugs. They're unhappy. They've got all the money can buy, but yet they're so miserable in who they are. And so many of our young people go, man, that's what I want to be like. I want to be a famous actor. I want to be a famous musician. Or I want to be a famous athlete, so on and so forth. Most of those folks that have that kind of notoriety and that kind of fame, most of the time their lives are a mess. So we have the world that we can set our eyes on to be transformed into the world. Conformed into the world. But we also have this that I want you all to be careful with. Sometimes we can actually set our eyes on other Christians and want to be like them. Now, please don't misunderstand me. The Apostle Paul said, listen, you guys need to do what I do. Okay? But sometimes, folks, there are people running around out there and they say that they are Christians. Come on. They say that they are Christians, but they are not really followers of Jesus Christ. Man, there's a whole lot of stuff being done today in, you know, mainline denominational churches that have nothing to do with Jesus. It wasn't very long ago that a whole bunch of pastors got together and marched on this state's capital and said, listen, man, we need to repeal HB1, which is the bill that's causing so much controversy about, man, guys just should guys use guys' bathrooms and girls should just use girls' bathrooms. That's basically all it said. But yet, folks, I got to tell you, we got this movement now that I can get up in the morning. If I feel like I'm a girl, I can go in the girls' restroom and nobody can do anything about it. And a lot of pastors are marching on the state capitol and saying, listen, we need to repeal this law. I'm saying to myself, self, what's going on here? So what I'm saying in that illustration is this. We got to be careful at who it is that we pattern our life after. God has indeed given us many role models that are men and women that have gone before us and have plowed some really tough roads every once in a while, that they can look at us and they can help us through this journey. But folks, I got to tell you something. Be careful at who you pattern your life after. The best thing that I can give you is this. Say, I want to be like Jesus. I think that sometimes we have a lot of plastic Christians in our churches today. And I'm not talking about somebody that's gone through plastic surgery. I just want to be the real thing. I want to go after the real thing. And if you're having a hard time discovering who the real thing is, just begin to ask God. Say, God, listen, man, I need a role model. I need a mentor, but I need the real thing in my life. I don't want to go after something that's all fake. I don't want to go after something that's all plastic. Because regardless of what any of us think, a lot of times we put our best foot forward here at church, don't we? Yeah. I just want to be real. I want to go after that that's real. So that's why I want to go after Jesus. So let's talk for a moment about the process now of transformation. We've talked a little bit about the various things that have led us here, but now the process. Folks, this morning I could have really shortened up this message. And I could have just got up here and say, listen, transformation is about changing the way you think. And I could have said amen, and we could have prayed, and we could have gone home. That's the process. Changing the way we think. That's transformation. I've got some bad news, and I really don't know how to break it to you. See, as I look out all over your faces, it's just, you know, a bunch of sweet people in this room, but I will promise you, every one of us, there are no exceptions to this statement. Every one of us have problems in some area of our lives in the way we think. Everybody. It doesn't make any difference if you've been in the kingdom 10 minutes or 500 years. We got problems. And the reason that we got problems is because we're immersed in this culture that you and I live in. Come on. We're living in this world again. We're living in this world that the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans. He says, guys, you got to be transformed. You can't be conformed to the world. I mean, folks, all we got to understand is from the very beginning of our lives, we've been one time after another time assaulted in the way we think. Come on, whenever I was growing up, man, they started putting all kinds of crazy things in me in public schools. I don't have anything against public schools if they'd teach the right things to our kids. I'm thankful for all the wonderful teachers that we have in public schools, and I'm not knocking public schools, but folks, we force something down the throats of our young people that aren't even right. I mean, take evolution. Evolution is a big bunch of hooey. We have a designer that designed this place, and we got a creator that created this place, and his name is Jehovah God. Period. The one and only. He spoke it into existence, but yet we have been assaulted so many times. There are people out there today, they say that over 30% of Christianity today, people, men and women, that call themselves born-again believers, that believe in the book, they believe in the scripture, they also believe in evolution. There's pastors today that allow evolution to be taught in their church because they believe in evolution. Let me just tell you something. They were indoctrinated into this plan, this thing that Satan has created to warp the minds of men and women and young people so as that we would think different from what the Word says. Let me just tell you something. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. 6 24-hour periods. He got out there and there was nothing, and he said, let there be, and all of a sudden there was something. Because the power of God's word is forever, and it is still being created because God has not said cease and desist. The universe is still going on, being created even as you and I speak. Because God is all powerful. He is all knowing. And somehow or another, our finite minds just cannot get a hold of that. But you have to understand, we have got to change the way we think. If there's anyone in this room that you say, well, wait a minute, evolution has its merits. I'm telling you, it doesn't. And we got to change the way we think. You know, whenever you look back at World War II and you look at the atrocities that Hitler and his gang got away from, you got to understand, how did all of that happen? Because they took these children from little bitty and they began to put inside of their minds all kinds of crazy thinking. That's the reason they could take millions of Jews and march them to their death one after another, because they believed that those Jews were nothing more than an animal. They believed they were evil. A creation from Satan. Come on. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, man, we've been in this long enough that our minds don't work right. All of us. The way you grew up, the way your parents acted before you. So often, I did things whenever I was a young father that I should not have done with my kids, because now they're doing it with their kids. I'm not talking about sin, I'm just talking about stupid stuff. I'm old and I'm thinking, good grief, I shouldn't have taught him that. I'm serious. But it was the way I was raised, and it's the way I brought up. And folks, what we got to understand is we have got to begin this process of transforming our minds. This process continues, and we have to bring ourselves to a place where our mind is renewed. Because unless there's a renewing of our mind, any change in our lives is only going to be superficial. It's only going to be superficial. I mean, you can make up your minds right now and say, listen, man, I'm going to change this, I'm going to do this. And unless your thinking completely changes, you cannot do it. So how do we change our minds? How do we renew our minds, as the Bible says? Renewing our minds is made possible by where our minds are fixed, or where our minds are set. In other words, what we think about. In Colossians 3, 1 and 2, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things of earth. Is anyone in here have a television set that occasionally you're flicking through the channels and all of a sudden you find something you want to watch? I've done that. One particular time I did that. I was really intense. I was watching it. And all of a sudden, the stupid channel just changed out of nowhere. And I was in control of the remote control, as I normally am. And I thought, what in the world happened? I changed the channel because I was sitting on the remote. Whenever I changed the channel, I also put the crazy TV into another mode. And by the time I got the remote and found out how to get out of the mode that I was in and went back to the program, the thing had already happened that was the most exciting part of the whole thing. I'm going, good grief, this is crazy. You say, Pastor, why in the world did you tell me that story? Because see, what we got to do is we got to learn how to change the channels of our minds. Sometimes we live down here low and all we can think about is low stuff. And we're going to have to step up and say, listen, I'm going to change the way I think. The Bible says, hey, think on these things that are above. Think about heaven. Think about the kingdom of God. Think about who He is. Think about how awesome He is. Think about how big He is. Think about how wonderful it's going to be in His presence 24/7, 365. Are you with me? Think about how wonderful it's going to be to see His face. Not as it is dim now, but I mean face to face. See the Savior of the universe, the Savior of my soul. Are y'all with me? I mean, folks, I got to tell you something. Sometimes, okay, man, I'm just going to confess to you, all right? I was sitting here a while ago, and I was thinking about whether or not the oven was going to come on and do what it needs to do before I get home today. I thought, did I set that crazy thing right? Because I'm telling you, I'm hungry right now. Now, I'm not saying that that's as low as you can go, but I'm telling you, I was not thinking about what I needed to be thinking about. We need to change the channels. Be renewed in our minds. Whenever we are renewed in our minds, it becomes easier to put off the old. Man, whenever I was growing up and I got interested in drinking alcohol, I got to tell you, come about Thursday, sometimes even Friday mornings, all I was interested about was finding a bootlegger. Y'all know what a bootlegger is? It's not like here in the South. Bootleggers, they make moonshine. Bootleggers in the where I grew up were guys that were past the age of 21 that for a few bucks they'd go out and buy you some booze and get it in your hand. I mean, on Fridays, I started thinking about it. Thursdays, I started, okay, who can I use this week? We had some guys that do it for free. Those were wonderful men. buying alcohol for underage idiots. But can I just share something with you? I have not, on a Thursday or a Friday or a Saturday or Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I have not thought about buying booze in like 36 years. Come on. Even after I reached the age of 21 and could do it myself without a bootlegger, I got married and my wife could have bought it for me because she's 2 years older than me. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? God got a hold of my mind, and I began to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And it was so easy for me to be able to put off the old. The old way that I used to think that wasn't no good, it was easy to do that. We got to renew our minds. We have to spend time thinking on those things that are above. Put off the old man. Put off the sins that comes along with him. Used to work in a mine, and some of the jobs in the mines, I'm telling you, they were just nasty. They were just dirty nasty. There was one job in particular that the machine had this hydraulic system that actually moved the machine, and sometimes whenever the hydraulic system broke down, hundreds of gallons of oil would literally leak out underneath it. And because it couldn't move, you couldn't get out of that oil spot. And so you'd have to climb under the machine, and you would hear this, and that was the oil that you were laying in. It was nasty. I used to get out and put muck on my body and my clothes just to get the oil absorbed off of me. And I can tell you that whenever I got home, let me rephrase that, whenever I got on top, I didn't want to wear those clothes anymore. I didn't want to drive home with them. Didn't want to go in the house and say, "Hey, baby, look at my clothes, how nasty they are. Nasty. I think I'm going to wear them to bed." Come on, many of you have been there. You've been out in the yard working, you got all nasty, all dirty. You don't want to wear those clothes. It's so good to get out of them and go and take a shower and then get in some new clothes. See, that's what God's calling us to do. He's saying, guys, your way of thinking, the way the world has so indoctrinated you over the years, he's saying, guys, you got to quit thinking like that. It's like taking off a dirty set of clothes, and it's like putting on a good set of clothes. Growing up, I had the idea that very few people in this world even loved me, even liked me, for that matter, my own parents. But understand this, whenever I fell in love with God and His love began to permeate me, it changed the way I thought. Man, there is somebody that loves me. And I want to tell you something, He's the one that counts in Jesus' name. So good to be able to take that, because I got to tell you something, even those people that don't think anybody loves them, there's people loving them. Come on. There's people that love you. There are people who love you. Even whenever I was ugly and nasty and in sin up to my eyeballs, there was a lady that started praying for my life. She didn't even hardly know me, but she started giving time in intercessory prayer so as that I could walk in the truth that Jesus wanted me to walk in. Take off those dirty clothes. Put on some new ones, clean ones. Put on the new man. After the example that Jesus gives us. You know, there's a lot of self-help books out there. There's a lot of self-help seminars. These guys get you pay a lot of money and they get you in this seminar. And you know, one of the things that they deal with most often is the way you think. A lot of people that are unsuccessful, they go to these seminars and these people say, listen, if you start thinking this way, you're going to become this way. There's been people that have actually left those seminars and went out and made millions of dollars because they changed the way they thought. Let me just tell you something. The Bible's been telling us this for a lot of years. It says, listen, if you'll just change the way you think, you will be successful. God says it. We need to believe it. And remember, I want to go back to where I started at, kind of. We don't have to do all this in our own efforts. We are not alone in this. God wants to work with us in this. So he's saying, listen, I want to change you. I mean, God says this himself in Philippians chapter 1. He that has begun a good work in you, he is the one that is faithful to bring it to completion. So he wants me to change the way I think, because folks, whenever I change the way I think, it is better for me, it's better for my family, it's better for this congregation, it's better for the world around me. And so God says, listen, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. So now this morning, I know that many of you are looking at this and you're going, wow, this is awesome. This is awesome. And you're ready to do it. You're ready to give that energy and that time needed so that our minds can be transformed in those areas that we so desperately need them transformed. But this morning, I want to make sure that all of us understand there are a lot of Christians out there that have a lot of hindrances to getting themselves transformed. Anybody ever had a hindrance? I've had four. I'm kidding. They only hindered me a little bit. I can remember we had, Cody was 18, Corey was 14, and Jalen was 10. And I guess we needed another one. And so we had Caleb. And I can't tell you how much it changed our life, because for almost a decade, all we were saying was, y'all get in the car. And the kids would get in the car. And now we'd say, get in the car. And Caleb would just lay there and expect us to get the diaper bag and the bottles and all the stuff that went along with it. Because, man, you have to have like a whole trunk full of stuff to deal a baby. We left one time and went all the way to another city. And, man, we had a really bad problem with a bad diaper. And we didn't have any clothes to change him into. We had to go to the store and buy new ones, because we weren't used to traveling with the baby. He's since left being a hindrance, and now he's a tremendous blessing, thankfully. But Christians today have a lot of hindrances in this transformation process. They have a problem in this area because they don't renew their minds. You see, that's the hindrance. I can't imagine what it would be like if every one of us in this room really and truthfully got honest with one another. I mean, we just took off the masks, we stepped out from behind the facade, and we just said, listen, I just want to be honest with you. I really struggle in this area of my life. See, as a pastor, I hear a lot of times from people, because they come in confidence and they say, Pastor, what can I do? How can I get past this? I mean, some of you young people, it may be the way that you speak to your parents. You don't know why you talk that way, you just do. Maybe it's the way you think. Maybe you're like me whenever I was growing up and you just didn't think anybody loved you, and so you had a no-care attitude because it didn't matter who you hurt then, because nobody loved you anyway. Maybe it's an adult in this room and you struggle against challenges of staying off of pornography on the internet, having a mind that's full of lust. Maybe you're in this room and you've got some really bad habits. Maybe if I bumped into you at Walmart and I looked in your shopping cart, you know, there's a 24-pack of some kind of liquor stacked up in it. Folks, you ought to understand, we shouldn't be doing that as believers. Oh, but the Bible doesn't say anything about not drinking. No, it doesn't, but it's not wisdom, I'll tell you. It's not a good steward. I just got to tell you, why do you need it? You want to feel a little buzz? Get a hold of Jesus. Come on, I'm saying, if we just really got real and we just really got honest. And the whole thing is, sometimes many of the problems that we have in our lives, they've been there for years and sometimes even decades. Sometimes it's from the time whenever we were a small child. We've brought it all the way through. And so I'm saying to us, what hinders us from being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ? In other words, man, there's some of these habits that I had whenever I was younger that I can tell you that I have complete and total victory over. Whenever I got saved, I brought into this relationship with Jesus an enormous temper. I lost my temper. I was crazy. I would just go berserk. I was violent with my temper. I hurt people. I hurt things. I hurt myself But I can tell you that it's been like 35 years since I lost my temper because God got a hold of me. And I went through a transformation process. I changed the way I thought. And I got to tell you something, it's good not to have a wild, crazy temper. Especially if you're a pastor. But so often what happens is we don't get control over these things because we have failed to renew our minds. See, what happens a lot of times is we try to renew our minds with a starvation diet. I'm only going to feed you this much, and I expect you to live and live prosperously. Folks, let me just tell you something, and I'm just going to shoot square with you. You cannot make it in Christianity going to church on Sunday mornings only. And you say, well, do I have to go to church on Wednesday? I'm not talking at all about Wednesday. I'm just talking about the diet that you get here, the meal that you get here on Sunday morning. You cannot live on it. You have got to learn to feed yourself. You got to feed yourself on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and then just come back in here for another buffet. All you can eat. I'm serious. You can't transform your mind on a starvation diet. Let me just tell you something else. You can't transform your mind on a junk food diet either. Some of you were really happy whenever they brought Twinkies back. Some of you were really sad whenever you found out they were never going to manufacture them again. I got emails. Pastor, rescue me. I'm thinking about doing something awful. They took Twinkies away. Twinkies are junk food. If you ate nothing but Twinkies, within the next week or two, you'd die. I'm just kidding. But they're junk food. They're just full of sugar and starch. That's it. It's just something that your taste buds go, hallelujah! But that's the only thing in your body that says hallelujah. Your gut says, oh my goodness, not again. But whenever it comes to renewing our minds, we cannot live on a junk food diet. And there's so much junk food out there that we put in our mind. Come on. Junk food like, and junk food like, and junk food like. Have you ever watched television for like an hour and then you got up and go, man, why did I waste that hour? My son was being mean to his mom last night because we got this little joke, and please know that I'm not trying to offend anybody in here. But we don't like Lawrence Welk. I know some of you have bought all of his albums and you dance with him, but that's okay. But last night, my son put the television on Lawrence Welk and then took the batteries out of the remote control so that Renee couldn't change it. And so he's going back and forth with his mom, and I came in, sat down. I'm listening to Lawrence Welk, and I'm telling you, I've only listened to about 45 seconds of it. But it was these people in these green suits from head to toe, and they were singing, and I said, give her the batteries now, or you will not make it to maturity. Sometimes we just watch stuff for the sake of filling up a gap in our time, and I'm telling you, you cannot make it on a junk food diet. There are many of us, man, we need to turn off the television. Come on. Should have been an amen there. So that's why so many of us don't experience transformation as God wants us to experience transformation. They become what they think. Because oftentimes what they think is not good, then it's conforming to this world. The Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a man thinks, so is he. Come on. So that's why we got to change the way we think. A lot of times we spend more time watching the things of the devil than reading the things of the Spirit. You know the greatest transformation that's ever taken place on this planet? Ever. That's taken place on this planet. Was the very first few years of the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus stood on the Mount of Ascension and he said, guys, I'm going. I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to go be at the right hand of the Father. He went up. And here this ragtag bunch of people that we read about, all the mistakes they made, all the dumb things they said, all of the things that Jesus was always popping them on the head and saying, oh, you have little faith. These folks went and got baptized in the Holy Spirit and they became the most amazing transformative force that has ever swept over this world that you and I live in. They changed the known world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They changed it. I mean, man, they changed it. All you have to look is in the book of Acts. I mean, literally, they turned the world upside down. Yeah. But think about this, though. I'm not so sure if they really turned it upside down. I think maybe they turned it right side up. You know how they did it? This group. Just regular folks. There was regular folks. There wasn't any of them seminary trained. There wasn't any of them carrying around big pocket full of credentials. They were just regular men and women that God got a hold of. You know how they did it? They preached the word. Over 30 times in the book of Acts, it says, and they preached the word, and they preached the word, and they preached the word, and they preached the word. The Bible tells us in the very beginning of the church that they went from house to house. They were breaking bread. And what were they doing? They were listening to the apostles talk to them about Jesus. Jesus, what he said, what he did, what he told us to do, where he told us to go. That's what the apostles did. They weren't doing something that was all, you know, huge and deep and, oh, so philosophical. They were just saying, guys, this is what the man said. And he is the Son of God. We got to do it. They preached the word. In Acts 4:31 it says they spoke the word of God with boldness. In 6:4 it says but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. In 6:7 it says then the word of God spread and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. In 13:49 it says and the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. In 19:20 it says so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. You see the big idea, the church of Acts continued steadfastly in the word of God. Folks, I'm telling you, we don't realize how powerful this word is. It has the ability to change the way we think. I mean, man, folks, we got to understand. We are crazy to believe that we can ever legislate this United States of America to go back to God. I mean, even if today, right now, the Congress and the Senate said, listen, we are going to vote and we're going to outlaw abortion, it would not stop abortion. Let me tell you what will stop abortion. It's whenever you get a hold of a young man and a young woman and you teach them that outside of marriage, there is no such thing as sex. You got to get married. You got to have God's blessing on you. You got to have a marriage between a man and a woman. I almost didn't say that, but I just decided to. Just in case there was any people out there thinking. And then you can start thinking about having kids. And see, then you won't need to dispose of them because you will want them in your home. And you see, that's whenever a young man and a young lady who is out and they have every opportunity, but they say, listen, I'm saving myself for the marriage bed. And so this is as far as we go right here. Come on. And so the word virgin begins to take on a connotation of something that you should be proud of rather than something that you're scorned for at the high school. Come on. You're not going to do that any other way by one heart at a time. One heart at a time. It comes from the Word. Let me show you what the Bible says about marriage. Now, the world says that you can cohabitate, and that's wonderful and fine, but the Bible says that a man and woman need to be married. See, we've got to change minds. And the only way you can change minds is with the Word. In the Bible, we see a lot of people that went through great transformations. I was just reading last week about Mary Magdalene. You know, Mary Magdalene was a mess. Y'all know that? She was a booger. I don't need to go any further than that, do I? You want to read about Mary Magdalene, man, just read about it. She was a mess. But she got a hold of Jesus, and Jesus got a hold of her. And Mary Magdalene's life was turned upside down. You know, she was one of the women that went to the tomb and found Jesus was gone on Resurrection Sunday morning. Yo, I mean, Mary Magdalene, the Lord allowed this woman who had this past to be there to see the empty tomb. And she came to the disciples and said, listen, he's gone. And she held such a place of standing with them that they believed he was gone. Mary Magdalene went through a transformation process. There's others. Some of these disciples that were fishermen at one time, James and John and Peter. You know, Peter, man, I love to read about Peter. Peter reminds me so much of humans. Yeah. But I mean, Peter went through this transformation process, guys. I'm telling you, the Word of God, which was Jesus in the flesh speaking to him, it got in the inside of him. And the Bible says that his mind was renewed. Peter went from this guy that was vacillating back and forth saying, man, I don't know Jesus, to a place ultimately that he stood on the day of Pentecost and said, guys, you are the ones who crucified him. To later on in his ministry, he literally walked down the street. Listen to this, man. He walked down the street, and his shadow cast over the sick and the lame. As they lay in the streets, they were healed. That's a transformation. That's a transformation, folks. I don't know who Jesus is. To his shadow healing the sick. Abram, you remember him? He was such a weasel. He was married to a pretty wife, so everywhere he went, he would protect his own self. That's my sister. Got himself in all kinds of hot water. But you know, Abram went through this transformation process and he became Abraham. And now we sing about him. Father Abraham had many sons, Father Abraham. And I am one of them. I am a seed of Abraham. Whenever we get to heaven, I want to see Abraham. I want to see Jesus, but I want to see this guy Abraham. I'm telling you, he went through a transformation process. Tax collectors. Matthew was a tax collector. God called him to be a disciple, but he was a tax collector. Do you realize what a tax collector was back in this day, in that day? Almost exactly like it is today. Everybody hated him. Despised him. If any of y'all are IRS agents, I don't like you. I'm kidding. No, I mean, even back then, I think it was even worse because, you see, Matthew was a Jew, but yet he was taking advantage of fellow Jews for the Romans. So he was even despised more. It would be like our tax collectors taking money from us and sending it to the Russians or the North Koreans. I mean, he was hated. But yet Matthew went through a transformation process. Matthew became Matthew. I mean, Matthew the tax collector to Matthew the apostle, man. Are y'all with me? You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those guys, that's a Matthew. Saul, as I preached a few weeks ago, he was the biggest enemy of God during the formation of the church. I mean, literally, Saul of Tarsus was the biggest enemy that God had, but yet he turned out to be the greatest man that has ever preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Saul turned into Paul. Man, what a transformation process. You know how come these men were able to be transformed? You know why this lady was willing to be able to be transformed? Because she allowed the word to get in her. They allowed the word to get in them. They turned off the boob tube and they listened to Jesus. This morning, the process of transformation is simple. We have to renew the way we think. I mean, I could be smug in here this morning and say, you know, I don't really think there's that much wrong with the way I think. I'm a man of the cloth. Touch not thine anointed. That's me. Yeah. I've been in full-time ministry over 30 years. 30 long, long, long years. I could. But I wouldn't. Because whenever I get quiet and whenever I put myself underneath the hand of God and I say, God, I know that somewhere up here there is some stinking thinking. And I need you to help me to get my thinking right. I've told this story a lot of times, but I'm telling you where I'm at with this is I just want to believe the word. You know? I think there's just so much in me that keeps me from believing the word. And you go, Pastor, you're preaching the word. You ought to be believing it. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm kind of like that guy that says, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, I believe this word. I believe this word. But I'm not sure if I really believe this word. And so I've been saying, God, this is my area right here. I know I've got some stinking thinking, and I know I need to believe this word. I know. Guy that I knew for many years, missionary down to South America, and he was in a very volatile country, a lot of problems with the persecution of Christians, and he was a young man, wife, several little kids, and they were ministering down there, and they just happened to stop at our church, and they were headed right back down to this country that literally was a powder keg. Christian pastors had already been martyred. And I asked him, I said, man, are you scared to go back down there? Most of the people in the church didn't have the guts to ask him that because, you know, oh, you don't know. But I'm just crazy enough. I wanted to know. And he told me. He looked at me, and he looked at me with one of those looks that you know that you know that you know the guy believed what he was saying. He said, it doesn't bother me to go down there. God called me to that country. And there's men and women down there right now that are depending on me to bring the gospel to Jesus Christ to them. And I got to go. And he said, plus, he said, I'm telling you, until Jesus Christ wants to take me out of this place, he said, I'm invincible. Nobody can take me unless Jesus wants me. He said, my family, they're invincible. But you see, he wasn't just saying that because that was some kind of rhetoric that Springfield had put in his head. He was saying it because the word had got inside of him. And it had changed the way he thought. Folks, in this transformation process, my next message in this is going to be talking about giants that you and I face. And I'm going to use the story in the Bible about Jonah and the ark. I'm just joking. I'm going to just make sure y'all were awake. Jonah? I'm going to use David and Goliath. It's a great story about how David faced that giant and brought him down. And you and I in this room are going to have to understand our minds are going to have to change. Our thinking is going to have to change. And folks, the reason it's got to change is because me and you have been called to a higher plane. We've been called to a higher level. We're not to think as this world thinks. We're supposed to be thinking above this world. We're supposed to be putting our minds, set our minds on things above. Not on the things that are down here that are temporal, but on the things that are above. If everything we did in our life was motivated by what is happening above, our lives would change drastically. And so as I come to the end of this message and I ask Jared if he'll come and help me, I have to tell you guys, every one of us needs to be transformed in the way we think. Because there's some area or another in our lives that needs to think like the Word says rather than like the world says. And the alternative to you and I being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ is to be conformed to this world. And I choose Jesus. The next time we get together and we talk about transformation, I'm going to be talking about many of the giants that face us. Because I believe in this transformation process, there are a few giants that are going to have to die along the way. Sometimes I think those giants actually stand down in the valley and scream at us. You ain't big enough to whoop me, you little scrawny kid. I mean, folks, there's things we're going to have to overcome in this transformation process. Some of the young people in here, you know, I treasure you being here. I treasure you being a part of our church. But sometimes I feel like you have no idea how much you need to change. Sometimes you've modeled the way that you speak and the way that you act like a friend, like a buddy, a schoolmate. Sometimes maybe even after like an older sibling. Sometimes maybe even after the way one of your parents acts. But let me just make sure that all of you young people know that this transformation series is for you too. Because one of my desires as a pastor is to raise healthy, spiritual young people full of Jesus that are ready to take the enemy and break his neck. Full of the power and anointing of Jesus Christ. So you may be thinking, well, I've given up on the adults and I'm just looking to the younger people. That's not it either. See, I need to change the way I think. Because sometimes I go to church and I'm by myself. And you know my way of thinking is, that's okay. I mean, I bought that car. I pay the insurance, pay the gas, my car. But you want me to tell you something? It's not right that you and I come to church and we don't have somebody else with us that needs to hear the gospel. And you go, oh, Pastor, you're getting right in my plate right now. I'm just telling you. That's the way eternity thinks. Eternity thinks it's never okay not to come to church with somebody that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. You guys are looking at me really, really snake-eyed right now. But I'm just telling you, I've been around people before who thought that God gave them a van so that they could fill it up on Sunday mornings. That's the way they thought. They thought, praise God, he's given me a van. I got 7 seats in this thing. Pastor, I can bring 6 people with me because my wife can sit on the floor. I'm telling you, I'm not joking. And every week, week in and week out, these people would come bringing in kids. And they go, Pastor, I want you to meet my new friend. We'd sign them into children's church. And one day I just happened to be looking through all of the sign-ins in children's church and the people that were responsible for these kids. And about 50 times I came across a card that had their name on it where they had brought these kids. You see, because God got a hold of their minds, they were transformed in the way they thought. They were transformed. They said, man, it's not out of my way to go pick up somebody. If I have to leave the house 30 minutes early, it's no big deal because I've got to get people to Jesus. And I know I'm meddling, but I'm telling you, this is what the Holy Spirit's been doing in me. We have got to be transformed. I mean, every penny that comes through our hands, we are only stewards of. And so often we waste the money that comes into our hands. We waste it on all kinds of frivolous things whenever the kingdom could take that money and make it work around the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you go, Pastor, you're just getting right in my mess today. I'm telling you, church, our thinking is messed up. Because this ain't all about us. In fact, to be real honest with you, nothing's about us. We're dead, or should be. And it's all about the kingdom. It's all about Jesus. It's all about people that do not know. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying to you this morning. I'm talking to myself because I got some rearranging to do up here. And I got to start thinking more like Jesus thinks. I'm just curious. If Jesus came to this church and he had a car, do you think he'd drive up by himself in the mornings? Just curious. I guarantee you he wouldn't. And the reason is because the way he lived his life. It's there in black and white. Now this morning, I know I've drug y'all down, but I'm just telling you, allow the Spirit of God to change the way you think. Because right now, so many of us in this room are going, oh man, if I had to pick somebody up and bring them to church every morning. But see, God wants to change the way we think so as we would go, wow, I get to do it. This is the highlight of my week of getting to bring people to kingdom. Father, I don't know where you're going to take this one.